Ben, it is so good to see you, and it's so good to have spring, almost summer-like weather. Isn't this great? What a special day this is today, and a special welcome to the family and friends of Josh and Amelia. Man, it's just great to see you guys here today, and what a special day this is for them. Before we go any farther, why don't we just take a few minutes and say hi to the people around you? If you're not sure who you're talking to, just introduce yourself, and they'll probably do the same. The Bible reminds us that this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us worship and be glad in it. Let's do that right here, right now.
For the beauty of the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we praise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we praise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, your breath in our lungs, so we pray. your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Josh and Amelia's third son, Samuel Theodore. What a special day this is, and special for so many reasons. I mean, special is Josh and Amelia have been such good friends for so many years. They were students of mine in youth group. Both their parents go to our church. It's so fun to see the different generations, and so fun to see the family that is all here. So what a special day, but also just so special because it's just a reminder of how God loves us. We're reminded of that last week as we celebrated Easter and just the victory that Jesus had over the cross. And today we're reminded that we have a God that loves us so deeply that He's willing to go to that extreme just to have a relationship, a family with us. And so today we get to be reminded just of how beautiful of a promise that is. So this sacrament of baptism, it reminds us and it assures us that we share in the death and the resurrection that we celebrated last week. We share in that with Jesus Christ. And we're incorporated into His church. We use water as a sign and a seal of God's promise to cleanse us from sin, to renew us and that He's going to reconcile all things to Him. And in baptism, God's promise, He promised us the gift of His Holy Spirit as a pledge of His reconciliation. And that same Spirit binds us to one another, binds us to each other and to Christ in His ministry of love, peace, and justice. And God has always had this desire to hold us as family, to embrace us as His covenant children. He declares over and over in Scripture that I will be your God and you will be my people. So pursuing this desire, He came to a man named Abraham and He decided to make this thing called that we know as a covenant. He called Abraham and Sarah to trust Him. And he gave them a covenant sign called circumcision to show them that they belong to God. And now in baptism, God now claims us in Christ and makes us as his own people. He seals our membership in God's covenant community called the church. Baptism is a covenant sign that God frees us from the power of sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. And by water and the Holy Spirit, we are washed clean from our sin. God's grace in baptism calls us to give ourselves to him in trust, love, and obedience. And right from the very beginning, God has included children into these promises. All of his promises are for them as well as for us. We are to teach our children that they have been set apart by this baptism as God's own children, that they grow, as they grow older, they may respond to him in their own personal faith and commitment. And all throughout Scripture, we see this image of water. Right in the very beginning of Scripture, as Scripture opens up, God's Spirit hovered over the waters. It was through the waters of the Red Sea that God led his people to freedom. It was in the River Jordan that John baptized Jesus Christ, and then in God's Spirit anointed him. Jesus even calls himself the living water. He forgives us and frees us from sin and death, and he opens the way to everlasting. This water confirms that we were buried with Christ and that we rise again with him into eternity, both into eternity and to the life we're called to live, and that we're being renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit and united in Christ in his mission. Why don't we just take a minute and offer a word of prayer to God? Dear Father in heaven, send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit upon Samuel here today as he is baptized. May this water be a spring gushing up to eternal life for him. May you wash away his sin. May you raise him to new life and graft him into this body of Christ. May you pour out your Holy Spirit upon Josh and Amalia that they may have the wisdom to discern Samuel's gifts. May they have the strength to obey your will and the joy of answering your call. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be all praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Josh and Amalia, I'm going to have you come up with your kids. Join me up here on stage. I got a couple questions we want to ask you. Max, you look like you're ready to go. Whoa. Josh and Amalia, since you have presented Samuel here for baptism, we ask you the following questions before God and his people. Do you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and affirm the promises of God made to you and your children in his word? We do. Do you believe that your children, though sinful by nature, are received by God in Christ as members of his covenant and therefore ought to be baptized? We do. And do you promise, in reliance on the Holy Spirit and the help of the Christian community, to do all in your power to instruct your children in the Christian faith and to lead them by your example into the life of Christian discipleship? How do you answer?
God helping us.
People of God, they did not raise these children alone, but we do it together as community. So I'm going to ask you to rise as I ask you a question as well. People of God, do you promise to love, encourage, and support Josh, Amalia, and their kids? Do you promise that by your teaching of the gospel of God's love and by being examples of the Christian faith and character and by giving them the support of God's family, do you promise to love, encourage, and support them in fellowship, prayer, and in service? How do you answer? You may be seated. The Lord said, "Let the children come to me. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Boys, we use water because just like you use water in your life, you guys are looking forward to summer, spending time at the cottage, playing on the boat. We use water because we need water to live, right? We got to drink our water. And we use water because you can play in the lake, get pulled behind the boat, and water is just so much fun. And we use water because we got to take baths sometimes too, right? And so in the same way that we use water for a bath, we use water today to remind us that God cleanses us from our sin. And we're reminded that we're part of God's family, which means that it's going to be a lot of fun at times too, right? So we use water for so many different reasons. And today we're going to use water to remind us that Samuel is part of God's family and that God loves him very much. So Samuel, Theodore, Mulder, we baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Can I hold them?
Absolutely.
You're a little bit lighter than Max was at this age. Samuel Theodore Mulder, it is for you that Jesus came into the world. And it was for you, little one, that he died on the cross. He did all of this for you, even though that you knew nothing about it yet. And because he loves us this deeply, even before we could love him back, this is why we're able to love others. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he turn his face towards you and be gracious to you. This child has been smothered in prayers already. We have prayed and prayed for you guys to have this day. We recognize what a gift this is. We do not take birth and babies for granted. And we do not take you for granted. And we are so grateful you are here. And we're giving you back to mom. We are so excited for you guys here today. Let's offer a word of prayer to our God one last time, or one more time. Gracious Lord, may you look on kindness upon Josh and Amelia. May they ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Grant them the presence of your Holy Spirit that they may bring up all three of these boys to know you, to love you, and to serve you. Amen. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and head of the church, that Samuel Theodore Mulder is now received into the membership of his holy church. Samuel, may you grow to confess Christ as your own Lord and Savior as you grow older. And may you discover a deep joy that comes from being God's faithful servant and part of his kingdom. Let's give Josh, Amelia, and their kids a hand. This time, we'll invite Ben Cleveland to come up. Yes, Ben. We have a gift that we'll give you guys on behalf of the church.
On behalf of the church, we're happy and excited for you. Congratulations.
Why don't you rise and join us as we sing? Congratulations, guys.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you.
Miracle work from its feet, time and time.
you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
A few announcements here this morning. To get us started, I'm going to invite Meg Duchesne to come up. She's going to give us a little update on our nomination process. We're in the middle of recruiting our next leaders of the church, the elders and the deacons and ad board members, and so Meg's going to give us an update on what that's looking like.
I'll try not to interrupt the worship too much. I'm on nominations. It's awesome. We serve an awesome God, so of course it would be. He called me there, and he doesn't bring me anywhere, he's not going to go with me. So if you're looking for an opportunity to see the Lord work, he's going to be working there. Otherwise, I wouldn't be there. So if you are open and hoping to see the Lord prove mighty in your work or in your life, come join us. It doesn't have to be just ad board. It can be elders, deacons, anywhere you feel the Lord working in your heart or mind to serve. We've got a spot for you. We'd love to have you. Don't worry about your skills. We're more worried about your heart and mind first. He'll bring the rest. So, thanks. My name is Meg Duchesne. If you are open, come find me, okay? Just not on Sunday.
We've gone through a process. We've sent out a whole bunch of letters. We have a number of people that have responded so faithfully. So for those who responded, yes, you're willing to serve as an elder, or deacon, or ad board member, we just want to say thank you. We still have a few more openings available than we have people that are willing to help. And so if you are willing to step into this calling, as Meg put it, we just want to encourage you to deeply, deeply consider following God and working in this way, helping out in our church in these type of roles. We learned anything over the last several years is that we need godly people who are willing to step into leadership, and that's been a beautiful thing to see those who have stepped up, and we encourage you to be part of it as well. For those who are visiting with us today, welcome. We are so glad that you are here. You'll notice in the pews that there are welcome cards. If you have a few minutes, if you're like during the sermon looking for something to do, which doesn't happen with Dan preaching, but like when... If you're willing to fill out a visitor's card, we'd love for you to fill it out. There's a welcome desk in the back of church. If you turn in your visitor's card, they will give you a nice little goodie bag. And so if you want to see what's in there, we encourage you to do that. Along that same line, we've been talking as, family, friends, and the staff members here, just different ways that we can be intentional about connecting with people. The people that have been coming to church and just checking things out, giving them a way to meet new families, but also for those who have been coming to church for quite a while and would like to just get to know some of the people in our church at a deeper level than we can get to know each other just on a Sunday. Next week, Sunday, we're going to start a Bible study. We're just going to gather. We're going to have some pizza. Feel free to bring your kids. They can just kind of play. We're going to spend time getting to know each other in prayer with the idea that maybe we can just kind of brainstorm some ideas of how to start up some Bible studies maybe in the fall. But if you're willing to be part of that and want to get to know some people in the church at a different level, that will be next week, Sunday. We're going to do that from 5 o'clock till 7 o'clock. So we encourage you to be part of that. Another way that we can get to know each other at a deeper level is during our coffee connections, which we're going to have our introductory, our first effort at that here today. For those who are wondering what that is, today after church, go grab a cup of coffee, grab a cookie, and then we're going to have just a gathering back in the gym area, and we're just going to invite people to come up and share their testimony and just kind of share how God has impacted their life. Today we get to hear from Doug Stapley. We get to hear how God has worked through the twists and turns of his life and continues to work in his life today. And so we're excited that Doug's willing to share. We're excited that his wife volunteered him, and so we invite you guys to come join us for that after church. A couple other things going on, just middle schoolers. It says in the bulletin that you're going to meet next week Sunday. That's actually being pushed to Friday. So from Friday from 5 o'clock until 9 o'clock, come here. You're going to go bowling. You're going to have some pizza and time just kind of reflect on the year. And then also the middle schoolers this summer are going to do their community outreach week. They're going to just kind of show up here at the church for 3 days, and they're going to go out and volunteer. In your mailboxes for everybody, there are nominations forms. So if you could use the help of some excited middle schoolers at your house, whether it's cleaning some windows or cleaning a garage or doing some landscaping, or if you know of somebody that could use some help, there are nomination forms in your church mailbox. Just fill those out and turn those into the office, to Jill Ann or myself. We'd be happy to help out. Reminder that tonight, Dan Cruzy's got his Bible study. It'll be the last one of the study of Romans. And so tonight at 5:30, you guys can meet over in the gym area. There will be food and time to dig into the book of Romans and to see what Dan has in for you for there today. Whew, I think that's it. Two offerings today. The first one is for ministry funds. Second one is for New City Kids. You'll see the offering boxes in the back. Kids, if you have not left already, it is New Year time for kids worship. You can make your way in the back, make your way downstairs. So kids ages 3 through 8-ish, you are welcome to head on back to children's worship. And as they head out, we just want to remind you that next week we have communion. Last week we celebrated Good Friday, and we celebrated Christ's death on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter. So last week was Easter. Next week is communion, so this week we find ourselves right in the middle, and so we want to just spend some time in prayer, confessing our sins, reminding ourselves why Jesus died. And so as part of our prayer today, we will just have a time of confession where we just bring our hearts before God and the things that often come between us and Him. We also want to remind you that, it's on the bulletin, but Deb Hudson has her surgery tomorrow, so we want to be in prayer for her as well. So with that, let's go before God in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you today. What an exciting day this is, and we get to witness the baptism of Samuel. So God, we just pray that you'll be his God, that you'll look upon him and be gracious to him and go before him every step of his journey. May you work in his life in such a way that he just steps into his role in this kingdom. That you will be a God that is with him through the ups and the downs of life. And that you'll work in his life in such a way that he declares you as his Lord and personal Savior someday when he gets older. Pray that you'll be with Josh and Amelia. For all his aunts and uncles and grandparents and family and friends that are part of his life. And just may they pour into all those boys so that they can come see you through their love. God, we're reminded by baptism that you are God that is with us, that you have created a relationship with us so that we can be your people. So God, we ask that you will look down and care for those who need extra attention this week, for those who are hurting and struggling, those who are suffering from depression and anxiety, who are wrestling with health issues that just don't seem to get better. No matter how much we pray or cry out, God, may you bring them extra healing and comfort at this time. We pray that you'll be with Deb Hudson as she has her surgery. Pray that you'll be with the doctors and the surgeons as they work in her, and just pray that the surgery goes smooth and goes well and grants her healing. pray that you'll be with Dale and Willa Verberg as they are home recovering. We pray that you will grant Dale healing and help his body become strong. God, we're grateful that we can step into your presence and worship today. We're reminded last week of your victory over death and sin. And we'll be reminded again next week in communion just how you have poured out your heart and your love for us. So God, we recognize today just how unworthy we are of that love. May we be reminded that you died on the cross to take our sins. So God, here and now, we just confess our sins before you. We pray that you'll take the things that we have done that we shouldn't have, and that you will bring them to the cross, that you'll bury them in the ground with you, that you'll take the things we should have done and we didn't. God, we ask for your forgiveness of that. For the times that we show judgment and impatience when we needed to show the grace that you provided us. And even here today, God, we recognize we have so many things that distract us and so many things that just pull us away from the men and women you have called us to be. God, we're grateful for your death, for your sacrifice, and your incredible act of love. May we live in the resurrection that we sang and gave worship to last week. May we celebrate the life that is available through you and you alone. And we thank you for calling us your children. Lord, this we pray. Amen. Hear these words of assurance that come from Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 38 says, "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus and the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from on your own and through the law of Moses. For that, we give thanks to God, and we step into his word here today."
All right, good morning, everybody. I sound like I'm in a cave. That's okay. Oh, what a great day, isn't it? To gather in worship in light of the resurrection and the new life that God gives us in Jesus Christ, and to add to our worship today the sacrament of baptism. What an awesome thing, right? To celebrate the love and the grace of God that he pours out on us so generously and so freely. And that's being poured out today on little Samuel. That's awesome. You know, one of the most significant things and events in the life of Christian parents is to bring their child for the sacrament of baptism, like Josh and Amelia are doing today. We celebrate families. We celebrate our children and the love that God has for them. So this is a really important day. It's an important day for Josh and Amelia. It's an important day for their family as they celebrate the faith that holds them all together. It's an important day for this church as we see visibly the love and the grace of God poured out in this service today. And it's a really important day for Samuel. What a great event at the very beginning of his life. But Samuel isn't going to be able to take anything from this service today to remember it by, except the pictures and what we tell him about this later. I mean, he's just a baby. He doesn't understand what's going on today. He's too young to really realize what's happening here today. He's not really going to take anything from this hour except for the pictures and what we tell him about it later. I mean, he's not even going to get to eat the cake afterwards in the celebration. Is that right? I guess. I mean, he is just a baby, right? But the more I thought about it, and this sacrament of baptism, and what these parents are doing, and what we're doing as a church, and more importantly, what God is doing here in this sacrament. I said, no, there is something happening here today for Samuel. Something so special is happening for Samuel that's going to affect him for the whole rest of his life. He's going to have a whole lot more to remember this day by than just the pictures. And so Josh and Amalia are standing before all of us today as a family, and they're expressing and they're proclaiming their faith in Jesus Christ, and they're expressing their desire that Samuel share in that faith, the faith of their family, and they want that faith to be talked about. They want that faith to be lived out. And they want the love of God to be demonstrated to little Samuel through them, his parents and their family. In a way, Josh and Amalia are passing on their faith to little Samuel today. Baptism is a family affair. I bet you these parents who are sitting just behind you, Josh and Amalia, are thinking about the day that they stood with you and prayed over you and wanted their faith to go to you. And so we celebrate the faithfulness of God from one generation to the next and promise to raise our kids in that faith. That's all nice, and that's all wonderful, and that's all a very important part of what we're doing here today. But if that's all that we're doing, you know, just giving our kids to God and promising to pray for them and raise them in the faith and all that, if that's all we're doing, then all what we really have today here is baby dedication. But we have a whole lot more than that in the sacrament of baptism, because baptism is God extending His promises, all of them, all those wonderful promises to little Samuel. The promises of presence and faithfulness and grace and forgiveness and new life. All of that is being promised to Samuel and to all of us as well today. It's hard to explain exactly what's happening in the sacrament because ultimately it's a mystery and ultimately it's something supernatural. But I'm telling you, something really special happened here today. This sacrament provides an opportunity for all of us to see and experience the grace of God. The sacrament of baptism, as the confessions tell us, is a means of God's grace. The Heidelberg Catechism says that baptism is a holy, visible sign and seal. It's a sign. The sign, of course, is the water, and the water is pointing us toward the cleansing and the forgiveness and the washing, as Brian explained in the sacrament. And the seal is God activating that promise in the life of Samuel. Well, what promise is that? Well, again, from the Heidelberg Catechism, the promise that God graciously acts to forgive us our sins, to give us everlasting life because of the one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. This sacrament is the means that God uses to communicate and offer His love and grace to us. So it's a good day for Samuel. It's a great day for Samuel because God is sealing him with His grace and love and incorporating him into the family of God. But you know what? It's a good day for all of us too. You might be thinking, well, this is all about Samuel and his family. And it kind of is. But this is a good day for all of us because, as the Westminster Catechism says, when we observe the baptism of others, it gives us the opportunity to practice the needful but much neglected duty of improving on our own baptism. And so as we witness this baptism, we can improve on our baptism. When's the last time you thought about your baptism? And some of you are probably sitting there going, I don't know, never. Because I was a baby when it happened, and I pretty much haven't thought about it since then. But as we witness this today, we can improve on our baptism by understanding the deep meaning and what God is doing, and then by living out the implications of what this baptism tells us to do. So this is a good day for Josh and Amelia, it's a good day for Samuel, and it's a good day for all of us, because we all get the opportunity now to improve on our own baptism. Let me just make this point, though. Will this baptism save this child eternally? Will this baptism guarantee that Samuel will become an adult Christian? And the answer to that is no. That's not what's happening here. And so then you might be thinking, well, then why are we doing this? If he's not going to get that out of it, then why are we doing this? Well, yeah, the water is just water. It doesn't really guarantee anything. There's nothing magical about the water. But we do this not because it's just sentimental, not just because it's symbolic, not just because it's a tradition of the church, but again, God is mysteriously and really setting His grace and love upon Samuel and offering to him all of the promises of the gospel. We do this because the Bible teaches us to do it and because Jesus commands it. So, let's look at what the Bible teaches briefly. I'm going to start in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, because that's really the root of baptism. And then we're going to work our way to the New Testament book of Colossians. So let me invite you to stand where you are, and we'll hear the Word of God as it relates to this sacrament today. So let's begin in Genesis chapter 17. So when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are going to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or brought or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. And then to Colossians and the New Testament. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And that's God's word for all of us today. You can sit down. So let's just briefly talk about three things today. Why do we baptize? What does baptism do? And then what are the benefits of baptism? So let's start here. Why do we baptize? Why are we doing this thing today? Well, very simply, I guess, and very basically, it's because Jesus instituted it. Jesus commanded it. Jesus himself told us to do this. And Jesus talked about the importance of baptism in the Great Commission. You remember from Matthew 28, Jesus said, "As you go, I want you to make disciples. And you're going to do that by baptizing them. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to teach them everything that I commanded you." And so the most basic mission of the church is to make disciples, to make students, to make learners, to make followers of Jesus Christ. And it involves a two-step process. We do it, first of all, by baptizing, and then by teaching. The first step in following Jesus, the first step in our spiritual journey, the first step in Samuel's spiritual journey, is that Jesus says, "I want to incorporate you into the Christian church, into the body of Christ, into the family of local believers, and I want you to do that by baptizing them." And then, after they're incorporated and made part of that family, I want you to teach them. See, the church, Jesus said, is your family. The church is the environment in which I want you to learn and grow and experience my grace and love. And this little family of God's people, we are defined by grace and love. And our children need that kind of a healthy and loving environment in which they can grow and develop and flourish as God's people. Samuel is being marked and incorporated today into that family. That's what we're doing, and that's why we're doing it. Now, another reason that we baptize, not only because Jesus told us, but Jesus himself was baptized. Now, obviously, Jesus didn't need repentance. He didn't need the washing of forgiveness of sins. But when Jesus was baptized, Jesus identified himself with us, with sinners who desperately need to have our sins washed away. And in baptism, Jesus, as he was baptized, provides a picture of what he would do. He would go to the cross, he would shed his blood, and he would wash us, cleanse us, transform us from our sins. By going into that water, Jesus says, "I'm going to clean you. I'm going to identify with you in what I'm going to do." But the water not only means cleansing, the water for Israelites and Jews also represented something else. It represented chaos. It represented the abyss. It represented evil. And so what Jesus is also doing in his own baptism is that Jesus is descending into that water, into that chaos, fully immersing himself into darkness and evil of our world. And he's taking it all upon himself. Notice, Jesus didn't just kneel on the side of that Jordan River and bucket the water out, you know, and he was sent by God to go all the way into that chaos. Jesus didn't just sit on the side and say, "Hey, all you guys in the chaos, hang in there, it'll be all right." Now, Jesus went into the chaos and he bore our sin. Jesus was baptized to provide a picture of the washing away of our sins and of taking sins upon himself. And so we're baptizing Samuel today so that he can be identified with that work of Christ. That's what we're doing. As Jesus was sort of baptized on the cross, when we baptize Samuel, he becomes a recipient of that washing, of that grace, and of that sacrament. So we baptize because Jesus told us. We baptize because Jesus himself did it and provided that picture of what's happening. And then we baptize, thirdly, because it's a sign of all that God promises to us. Grace, love, forgiveness, a sense of belonging, a family to grow up in, a place in which to use our gifts and serve one another. Baptism is a sign of all of that. But the sign of God's promises didn't start with Jesus. Now, obviously, it climaxed in Jesus, and he's the whole climax of the whole thing, but it didn't begin there. To really understand why we baptize, we have to go back to the root and the foundation of God's promises of love and grace, and that means going all the way back to Abraham. All the way back to Genesis. Paul makes this connection with Abraham. He says in Galatians 3:29, he says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's children, heirs according to the promise. So Samuel today is not only a child of God, but Samuel is also a child of Abraham. Isn't that awesome? Child of Abraham. Well, what does that mean? Abraham was the beginning of God's redemptive plan for the whole world. God begins his plan of salvation in Genesis 12, and he begins it with this man, Abraham. He just picked Abraham. God came to him in pure, freely given, unimaginable grace. God didn't owe Abraham anything. Abraham didn't do anything. God just loved him. And then the promises started to pour out right there in Genesis. Abraham, I'm going to bless you out of your mind because I love you so much. Abraham, you and your family are going to bless the whole rest of the planet. Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. Abraham, you're going to have lots of descendants and lots of kids. Samuel's one of them. Abraham, I'm going to give you a land and a place to live out your faith and use your gifts. Abraham, I'm going to love you. Abraham, I'm going to protect you. Abraham, I'm going to forgive your sins. Abraham, I'm going to send a single descendant, a great descendant of yours, a Messiah, a Redeemer, a Deliverer, and he's going to be the ultimate expression of my love and grace. In short, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make a covenant. Now, a covenant is a relationship. A covenant is a marriage. A covenant is even more than promises. It's like an oath. It's like a blood oath. When God made those promises to Abraham, it was also his promise to Samuel. I'm going to love you, Samuel, because you're a child of Abraham. I'm going to forgive you, Samuel. I'm going to provide for you, Samuel. I'm going to be your God, Samuel. Just like I'm the God of Abraham and all his kids, I'm going to be your God too. Samuel, you are Abraham's child, and you are an heir according to the promise. And then God said to Abraham, so all these wonderful promises, we need a sign. We need something to mark this. We need like a physical, visible sign to mark this whole thing out. And I think now you know what it is, right? God said to Abraham, let's do circumcision. That'll be a physical, visible sign of all that I just promised you and all that I plan to do in history and in the world. I'm giving you circumcision, Abraham. And I can just imagine Abraham thinking when God said that, he's thinking probably about Noah, you know, earlier, saying, well, you know, that was good. You gave the covenant to Noah too, and he got the rainbow. And I got to have circumcision? Okay. But the reason I think it was circumcision with Abraham is because it involved a shedding of blood. And it indicates what ultimately is going to have to happen. There's going to be a shedding of blood. There's going to be a cutting away of something old and something evil. And that will be accomplished by Christ. And so, as circumcision was given to Abraham as the physical sign, baptism is given to our children as the physical sign of all that God promises. So, why do we baptize? Because Jesus told us. Because Jesus himself was baptized. And because baptism is a sign that goes back 4,000 years, all the way to Abraham, it's a sign of his love and grace that goes all the way to Samuel. So let's talk secondly about what baptism does. So why do we do it? It's a sign. It's a sign of God's grace and love. What actually happens? Well, that's where the seal part comes in. God is sealing his promises. God is, in a way, activating all those promises that he gave to Abraham, that climaxed in Jesus, that he promises to us. And now God says, in this sacrament, I'm going to activate those promises for little Samuel. And some of the images of that, of those promises and what God is doing is, first of all, new birth, new life, a totally new life. You know, as Samuel was born just a little while ago and is living now this physical life, he was in the womb for 9 months and now he gets this new life out here. Jesus says, I'm going to give you new spiritual life, and what's going to happen to you can only be described by a new birth, a new spiritual birth. And that's what Samuel's getting. He's getting the washing, the cleansing, the transformation. And God says, I'm going to activate that in Samuel's life. Forgiving his sins, washing him away, and giving him a transformed life, new life. Samuel, he's so sweet and cuddly, and he's so lovable this morning. Isn't he? Is he sleeping? Okay, he's sleeping. I have news for you, Josh and Amalia. He's not only cute and sweet and lovable, he's full of sin. You'll find that out as parents. Sin that he inherited, well, not only from you, but from Adam. Everybody needs to be cleansed. And baptism is a sign of that cleansing. What a blessing for a baby to have parents bring their child knowing that he needs to be cleansed. Just like we needed it. Just like our parents needed it. He needs it too. And so I want to bring him and let God activate that cleansing in his life. And we are also identified with Christ. We are identified with him in his death, in his rising. We become mysteriously, supernaturally united to Christ in this sacrament. And God says to Samuel, I want to hook up with you. I want to link up with you. I want to walk with you. When God looks at you, Samuel, he's going to see me. That's what I want to activate in your life. So God is sealing, activating all those promises. Now, does that mean that Samuel, again, is automatically saved and on his way to heaven? No. I like to think about it like this. Baptism is like getting a check. And God is giving Samuel this check. It's for new life in Christ. And God signed it. And God has all of the capital needed behind that check to make that check good. But it really doesn't do anything until Samuel grows up and signs his name on the back and endorses the check and says, yeah, I want what you promised, God. I want what you will activate. I want what you give. I want what you offer. I want what my parents have and what my grandparents have. And I really want that personally for myself. So God offers all this love, all this grace. The sign is water. The seal is the activation of that in his life. And it will come ultimately, we pray, for Samuel's confession of faith as he stands up and endorses that check. We should get going because we're almost done. We're almost done. I have one more point to go. But very quickly, why do we baptize infants? Well, that's a long story. But let me just mention these things. First of all, children were admitted into the Old Testament covenant. That's what God told Abraham, right? When your kids are 8 days old, give them the mark. Give them the physical sign. Because I want them in. Because I love them too. And this is a family affair. And so now we do that too with our children. When they're babies. Whole families were baptized in the New Testament. There really isn't a time or an example in the New Testament where God promises something and somebody comes to faith and it doesn't also include their household. The Philippian jailer and his household. Cornelius and his household. The same wording. To you, Abraham, and your descendants and household. To you, Cornelius, and your household. It's the same language. And so we have the example of the New Testament. Thirdly, Jesus accepted and blessed little children. In fact, the wording in Luke is babies. Jesus took babies in his arms. And then he looked at the big people and he said, y'all could learn a lesson from the babies. Become like little children if you want to enter the kingdom of God. And so I think Jesus was saying, I especially love babies. And I especially want them in the kingdom. And they are especially good examples of for the adults and how they should live their life too. Isn't that awesome? Children were baptized through church history. There are examples all through history, right? And the history of our denomination in our church. And finally, it stresses the initiative of God. You know, there are disagreements about baptism in different denominations. Some people and groups attach it to faith, right? When you make a confession of faith, you get baptized. Other groups attach it to grace. Which end of the stick should we attach baptism to? I think there's biblical evidence. I think it goes all the way back to Abraham, that we should attach baptism to the grace end of the stick. Because it emphasizes what God is doing, what God is giving, what God is offering. Nothing Samuel can do. He's just the object of God's wonderful love and grace today. The sign is the water, the seal is the activation of that in his life. So we're stressing the initiative of God in all this. And then finally, what are the benefits of baptism? Well, I think one of the best benefits is that we get connected to God. And that's what's happening for Samuel today. Let me ask you, how old does a child have to be before he can actually know anything about God? How old? 6? 8? 12? If a child is born reasonably healthy, you will be able to establish a very intimate relationship with that child from the very earliest moments of life. The natural focal point of a newborn's eyes is the distance between the breast and the mother's eye. So that the natural thing that the child does is to establish eye contact with the mother while nursing. There is an extraordinary sense of knowing that passes between a parent and a child. And if that is so, between a human parent and a child, are you really going to tell me that the living God who created heaven and earth and made whales and waterfalls and little penguins and all the rest of it cannot establish contact with a lovely little creature made in His image, but instead has to wait until that lovely little creature becomes 5 or 6 or 7 or 10? No way, no way. God has ways of making Himself known intimately to His children. And dare I say, one of those ways, one of those sacramental ways, is through baptism. And Samuel is now connected to God. We also see God's love and experience God's love. What an awesome benefit that is. God will says, I love you and I'll always love you. So let me ask you, which one of these two balloons is fuller? And I know, I ask people this and they usually say, well, it's the big one. The big one's fuller, right? And I say, are you sure? Are you sure? Because both balloons are full. One is bigger because it has more air, but they are both full. All the space is used up inside. And a very little person like Samuel can be totally full of the love of God, even though, of course, when he grows up and becomes a bigger person, he needs to be filled more and more with the love of God. But that little person, little Samuel, is not half full of the love of God today. He's fully full and just going to get more full as his life goes along. And it's a reminder that we need to die to ourselves. As circumcision was a cutting away of the old and a leaving behind of that old life, so in baptism, we're all reminded to improve on our baptism by dying to ourselves, cutting away that old part of us, and then living into and leaning into the grace and love of God and reflecting His character in all that we do. Those are awesome benefits. Let me end with this. My favorite verse in the entire Bible. And now I give it to you. From Deuteronomy, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. The secret things belong to God. A lot of secret things, right? A lot of mystery, a lot of complexity, a lot of things that we don't understand going on in this world. God says, I'll handle those things. The secret things belong to me. But the important things, the things that you need, the things that you want, I'll gladly reveal to you. Well, what are those things? Grace? Love? Forgiveness? Salvation? New life? Eternal life? And God says, I'm revealing those things to you and to your children so that you can follow me. And the best thing that we can all do as God's children to honor our good Heavenly Father is to reflect His character as His faithful sons and daughters. So congratulations to you, Josh and Amelia. Congratulations to Samuel. Did you all know that was all happening today? That's a lot, isn't it? Did you all improve on your baptism a little bit? I hope so. Let's pray. God, our very, very good Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today for the way that You have first loved us, been gracious to us, and adopted us into Your family as Your sons and daughters. And God, we're so thankful that this has ultimately been shown to us in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray today especially for little Samuel, that as you activate those promises in his life, that he will grow up and stand up in front of this church someday and receive those things for himself. In the meantime, Lord, may you fill each of us with your Spirit and love, that we may go out and reflect the character of our good, good Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please rise and join us.
Forget to meet with Doug Stapley just after with a cup of coffee. Receive this good God's blessing. The grace of Jesus Christ is yours to keep, Samuel, and everyone. The love of God our Father is yours to live in, Samuel, and all of you. The power and presence of the Holy Spirit is yours to equip you to reflect the character of this good Father in all that we do and say. Go in His peace and love. Amen.
Even when I don't see that you're working, even when I don't feel that you're working.